All right, nice to have you back with us here at the Public House. Gorgeous day for baseball. Adam Copeland is here, Allie Williams, Carmen Q, and joined by two world champions, and it's great to have them out here. One is a guy I've known many, many years, that is Tim Hudson, and another guy who will never, ever buy a drink in the city of San Francisco, and that is Travis Ishikawa. Travis, nice to have you.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on here.
It's great to have you. That was the first thing I said I was going to ask you. Have you bought a drink since you left the city?
A couple, yes.
You shouldn't be. That's a crime, man.
I must not be finding the baseball fans. I must be finding the ones that don't like baseball.
Well, it's good to have you back, and you're back with the organization. Tell us what you've been up to.
So I just finished my first year coaching. I was the hitting coach for our rookie ball team down in Arizona this year. It was a lot of fun. It was a blast.
Tell us about some of the players you saw. I mean, we're looking at these prospects that are coming up now, guys we want to get a little insight on. Who is it that you work with, and maybe some guys that the fans can look forward to seeing in the next couple of years?
I think one name you're gonna recognize here in the next few years is a guy named Alex Canario, Dominican kid. I think he just turned 18 when we started spring training in March. He's got some tools for sure.
What's his last name?
Canario, outfielder.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, definitely. He's a lot more polished and a lot more tools than I had when I was 18 coming into pro ball.
Travis Ishikawa with us. Travis, what do you look for when you work with a kid like that? What are you trying to see?
I mean, for me, my first year, I was trying to learn how to be a hitting coach as well as these guys were learning how to be hitters. So, you know, if there was things I've learned, you know, picking brains of our hitting coordinators this year, learning a lot of things, and if I was able to kind of see something a little, kind of go along those lines to help them, I would mention it. But when you got a guy that is only 18 and he's got that kind of swing and he's competing well, I'm trying to keep him mentally, just trying to teach him mentally how to be strong, because he went through some tough times this summer, and it just, you know, the mental side of getting over it, being able to put one bad game behind and trying to keep that slump from being more than just four at bats.
Well, you talk about the mental side, and I think you're a guy who maybe mastered that better than a lot of guys throughout baseball. Up and down in your big league career, you spent time, I mean, a whole season in the minors before you came back to the Giants, ended up with the White Sox, and you were able to come back and really kind of revault your career here with the Giants.
Yeah, it was great. During spring training, the Giants are great about bringing guys back. Huddy was one of them. He'd come in and talk to these kids, and every single guy that came in, I mean, it was all-stars and all these great numbers, and they asked me to talk one day, and I'm like, okay, well, my numbers aren't going to start with how great my career stats were. I'm going to give you 10-5. 10 times I got released or designated. 5 times I got demoted from one level below. And I just wanted to encourage these guys, because they're starting at the very bottom and they don't know what they're in for yet. It's going to be a very roller coaster type career. And so just to give them a mental aspect that things are going to get tough. Just, you can persevere through them, because I've done it. And just because these guys, they all have tools. They all can play. It's, you know, the difference between, you know, the low level guys and the big leaguers is, you know, they come over their adversaries a little quicker.
Boy, beautiful to have Travis Ishikawa with us, and Tim Hudson, having him here. And look, two world champions. Come on, you guys are two world. How about that one? You know, they always say they could never take it away.
It's got a nice ring to it.
It's got two rings. A very nice ring to it. Yeah.
Well, one. Two for you.
Two total.
Yeah, that's right.
Fine.
But the ring looks very good on you. I want to tell you that. Buddy, how are you? What's new with you?
I'm good. I'm really good. But I'm going to tell you what, settling in Auburn. My son, Kate, he's 13, and Tess is 14, and Kennedy's 17. So, you know, their ages are at the age where I'm really busy running around coaching games and hauling girls to volleyball games and cheerleading practices and cheerleading games. So I'm like the family Uber driver.
I love it.
You know, my wife's working full time, so I'm like a nanny now.
Kim is great. I know Kim. Kim's a lawyer, and I've known her for many, many years. I knew before Kennedy was born when Timmy first came up with the A's. But looking back on the career, and, you know, as you get a little further down the road, you look back on it. And we always say, you know, the numbers would mean more, a little more later on. Do you look back on it now and, what, 223 wins? I forget how many. 220, sorry. Yeah. You lost that other one.
That's all right.
But 222, now when you sit back and look at it, how about that? Come on.
Yeah, you know what? It's... you know, I'm really happy with my career, obviously. I played a lot longer and had a lot more success than I ever thought I would have. You know, I'm a long ways from Alabama and you know, where I came from, that's for sure. You know, had the pleasure of starting my career out here in the Bay Area in Oakland and playing for my childhood team that I was a fan of in Atlanta for 9 years. And, you know, having a chance to come out here and finish my career in San Francisco, where you know, where it all started in the Bay Area, winning a World Series. And, you know, 2 years that I had out here in San Francisco with the ages that my kids were at the time, they were 8, 9, and 13, you know, they'll forever love San Francisco. It always has a special spot in their heart, obviously mine as well. And, you know, I told them that, you know, we were coming out here for this World Series weekend, and originally it was just me and Kim. We were just going to come out. And my kids, they let me know real quick that we were not coming out here without them.
Beautiful.
So they ended up coming out here with us, and we got here yesterday, and we just have been having a blast. You know, we love the city out here.
Isn't it something? And Travis, of course, you've been in a couple organizations, and Timmy, you know, we're here with the A's, and then coming on this side. Isn't it something playing ball in the Bay Area?
Really? Oh, it's incredible. It's night and day. You know, I think I definitely got a lot of bias, obviously, getting drafted by him coming up and, you know, and getting to play. And I have other organizations, you know, I appreciate the time and the chances and opportunity I got with them, too. But San Francisco is different. It's home. And I said that after I got to hit the home run. I think I said in an interview, it was like, I never pictured myself ever being able to hit a walk-off homer. I mean, at least realistically being able to do one. But I'm glad I was able to do it for San Francisco.
Timmy, what did you think when he hit it?
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. It was.
Oh, you were running. Were you the guy running on the field?
It was Peavy who was on the field, yeah.
Oh, Peavy?
You know, I'm going to tell you, I was more emotional that game than I was when we won the World Series.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, just having a chance to play in a World Series is something that, you know, for a guy who had never gotten past the first round of the playoffs ever in his career, you know, for us to get there, to have a chance to play, to get to the World Series, then for him to hit that homer, I mean, I was just overwhelmed with emotion. I was crying. My son, to this day, he laughs at me. He makes fun of me because I was crying like a little kid. And but you know what? It was just, you know, 17 years of playing at the time, 16 years of playing, and never having a chance to get there and have an opportunity to win. It was overwhelming, you know, and this guy, you know, sends one over the fence to put us there, man. What dramatic fashion. I mean, and honestly, that moment was so big, and it was so big for me, but just knowing his story and you know, where he came in his career to be in that moment, to be able to send us to the World Series, it was just, I mean, I don't know how he didn't cry like a baby. I was crying for him.
And there's Peavy trying to grab you, going around the bases. How about that?
I vaguely remember it. I mean, even to this day, the trip around the bases is still kind of a blur to me. And what I do remember is seeing Peavy coming out and not knowing it was him, just seeing a player coming out and not knowing the rules of being touched. And, you know, I don't want to lose this homer. I thought I was trying to swim move him away, and then it wasn't until I saw the replay that I was forcibly pushing him as hard as I could out of my way.
You know what? And, of course, you guys, Travis Ishikawa, Tim Hudson here, and celebrating the 2014 World Series. Boy, and you think back, and we're getting close to playoff time again. And you know what a grind it is. Timmy, you pitched the game against Washington. Unbelievable in that the game. That you, was it Zimmerman? That,
yeah, it was Zimmerman.
Zimmerman?
Yeah, that was the long game.
My God, just to that. You know, that was the key to that playoff, was you guys getting those first two games and playing so well. But look at the grind that's coming for somebody. Isn't it something to go through the playoffs?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, at least for me and my experience with 14, playing out of position for 14 of those 17 games. I was very stressed by the end of that. I was very tired. I don't think I got off the couch for 2 days when we finished up with that parade. I think it took me a while to recover from the mental, at least from the mental side of it, for sure.
So what was that like? I mean, you're playing in this the biggest stage in baseball, the biggest stage of your career. You're now in the middle of the lineup. You're playing left field, a position you're not used to playing. What's the feeling like that in a World Series?
It was great because, you know, thankfully the Giants got me 3 games before the season ended to make sure that I was ready.
Seasoned.
Yeah.
Ready.
So, but no, I was as stressed as could be. I mean, I was working with Roberto before every single game. Just, you know, he'd hit balls into the corner of the wall. He'd hit balls off all angles possible. Just so if the ball was down the line, I was trying whatever I could to not just to make the plays that I knew I was supposed to make, and then hopefully prevent anything further, which obviously I did not do in that game 5.
Well, but you made a couple of nice catches though.
Yeah, I mean, I played a few games in the minor leagues before that, but like I said, you can play all year long in the minor leagues. You go into the big leagues with a stage set like that, and it all went out the window for me, at least experience-wise.
I love it. I can't wait to see what happens in this playoff because it's a new world now. Timmy, we were joking about it. You know, all you got to do is go 3 innings, and they'll bring in the seven relievers. What about that?
Yeah, it's definitely a different way to look at how you handle your pitching staff nowadays. The philosophies have changed a little bit. I'm not sure really what to make of it. I think if you have a guy like Madison Bumgarner or Clayton Kershaw, you know, what a luxury to have. You can put those guys out there and just say, hey, whenever you stop getting out, someone will take you out. But, you know, a lot of, there's so much data that goes into, to line up when they get flipped over and percentages of things. Obviously, it's successful for a lot of organizations. I mean, they believe in it. I'm just not, I don't know enough about it, honestly, to have a strong opinion one way or another.
Well, you're going to see your former team, the Oakland A's, against the Yankees, and if they've got a 2-1 lead in the third inning, the parade is going to start.
Yeah.
Believe me. And the Braves, how about what the Braves are doing? We just saw them out here.
Yeah, you know what? They've done well this year. I think they're having a little more success a little earlier than they were anticipating. I know they had a lot of really good young talent in the minor leagues that I think they were probably anticipating bringing up maybe next year or the year after. But because of their success, they're giving these kids an opportunity to come up and be big leaguers. And they're running with it. I'm going to tell you, they have some really good young players on the big league team right now, and they have some really good ones that are knocking on the door as well. So I think the future is bright for them.
Yeah, we saw them out here this week. I'm going to ask you a question, Travis and Tim, from different viewpoints. Travis, as a hitter, the big deal today is you don't want a starting pitcher to go through the lineup three times, because that third time, you know, you're going to see the guy and you're going to be able to hit him. You think that's true? And Timmy, going through the third time, did you feel, oh my God, they've seen me three times? Because you would go nine. You'd go through four times. So I'll let Travis answer first. If you saw a guy three times, did you really get a feel for what's coming?
I think you had at least an idea. Sometimes it didn't matter for me. Sometimes I just felt overmatched. He could have told me, Timmy could have told me what was coming sometimes. I probably still would have found a way to not even make contact with it. But I think the more you see him, obviously you see the different pitches. You get to get a little more comfortable with his release point, how the ball's moving, and things like that. I usually always felt a little bit more comfortable if I saw a guy the third time rather than, bringing a lefty in or something like that.
Yeah, well, obviously you understand that, they've probably seen all your pitches by then. But you know what? It changed from start to start. If it was a game where I felt like I was on top of my game and I felt like I had really good stuff, I didn't care if I faced you three times or 10 times. I felt like I was going to get you out. But if it was a game where I was, I wasn't real sharp, your third time through the lineup, was going to be an opportunity for you to get me.
That's kind of that bulldog mentality, though. It's kind of what Marty's talking about here. Has that changed in the game now? Because our guy's now not conditioned to be ready to go through the fourth time.
Well, I think some pitchers are getting accustomed to, that 70, 80, 90 pitch mark to look down the bullpen and see who's warming up. 10, 15 years ago, there wasn't a starting pitcher that wanted to come out of a ball game. They just wanted to stay out there. You had to take the ball from them. And I think nowadays that may not be the case so much. But your frontline starters, your Bumgarners, your Kershaws, your DeGroms,
Syndergaards,
they're better than any bullpen guy you're going to bring in for the most part. But your middle of the rotation guys, sometimes they're the worst pitcher on that staff that day.
Now they are because everybody throws 95.
Everybody throws cheese and has unbelievable stuff. I think that's why a lot of teams are so ready to make a move as quick as they can.
Boy, what a story. Great to see you guys. Tim Hudson with us and Travis Ishikawa. Timmy, you started game 7 of the World Series, and I know I've asked you this before. I love to hear the story. How'd you feel the morning when you woke up?
It's funny. I was messing with my wife that morning. I woke up and I say, Kim, I said, yeah. I said, man, I had the weirdest dream last night. She was like, what? She goes, I had a dream that I was pitching game 7 of the World Series. She was like, shut up. No, but you know what? It was, she was way more stressed out than I was. That's for sure. But, what an opportunity. You always have as a kid growing up, you think, game 7 of the World Series, bases loaded, blah, 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 blah. As a hitter, you think, always dream about hitting the home run to win it. Or as a pitcher, you dream about, having a chance to pitch that game. And you know, I was I had the distinct honor of saying I'm the oldest pitcher to ever pitch Game 7 of the World Series. I'm not quite sure how to take that.
I think it's very good.
You won the game. I'd say it was
we won the ball game.
It's a great compliment getting to do it. You guys both played for Bruce Bochy. He's taking a little bit of heat now, and as we know in the baseball cycles of things, you know, you lose a couple of years and all of a sudden everyone starts saying something. But what was it about Bochy that made him what he will be, like Bobby Cox, a Hall of Fame manager? What's Bochy all about?
I think he's just got a sixth sense for baseball. And I think it was evident in that 14 playoff run and during the playoffs in the World Series. And things I love to say, talk about, and love, you know, throwing me out in left field. I mean, who in the world would have done that? What other manager would have even considered that? But my favorite one was that walk-off homer. And I started, like I said, I started 14 of the 17 games that postseason. Of those 14 games I started, that Game 5 was the only game where I was still in the game, tied or ahead past the seventh inning. I mean, every other game I was coming out, I would have already been out of that game, but for that, for some reason, and I remember him being questioned about it after Michael hit the homer in the eighth to tie, like, why was Ishikawa out there in the ninth? You've been pulling him every time in a tie game that late. And they go, well, you know, he's up fourth, I want to see him swing one more time, and then I was going to come out of the game. And I think just those kinds of gut calls that go against kind of what baseball says to do is what sets him apart, at least in the postseason for sure.
Great answer. Timmy, what about Bochy? Because Bobby Cox always told me that you made Bobby Cox very nervous. He was worried when you pitched. He wanted it to go. He wanted it to go so well that he would think about it. Remember, he told me that.
That
you made Bobby Cox nervous because he loved you. He wanted you to pitch well all the time. What about Bochy?
Well, you know, I think Bochy. One thing that for me, my experience with Bochy in the World Series, you know, against Kansas City, a team who hadn't been to the World Series before, against a fairly new manager, Ned Yost, never had to manage in the World Series. For me, it was just seeing Bochy push the buttons that game, that whole series, especially when we were in our National League Park. Just that inexperience that Ned Yost had, it just became so evident when you had a veteran manager like Bruce Bochy, you know, just pushing the buttons and almost seeing the other manager almost like a panic reaction move because he was just a move or two ahead of him. You know, I think that was one reason why we were at such an advantage against Kansas City because not only were the players inexperienced, you know, on a stage that big of the World Series, so was the managers and the coaching staff. And, you know, I think that's just what has made him one of the best to put on a uniform and going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he will be. If you're joining Bobby Cox, he'll be there with Bobby Cox. That's going to happen. You played for both of them. How about that?
Yeah, I did. You know, I had a chance to play for some unbelievable managers in my career. You know, Bruce, you know, Bochy, obviously Bobby Cox, and Art Howe over in Oakland.
Yeah.
You know, those were three really good ones. You know, they were managers that when they walked in the ring, you kind of stood up a little straighter in your chair.
Yeah.
You know, they just commanded that kind of respect.
I'll tell you a story about it. Tim, it was 2000, and I love this one. And it was the last day of the season. Texas was playing against the A's, and the A's had to win that game to avoid playoff and all that stuff. And the A's hadn't been to the playoff. 99, they came close, and Boston knocked them out in that series back at Fenway. But Tim Hudson stood up in the dugout and said, "Give me one run." Remember?
Yeah.
Give me one run. That is all I want. And they gave him one run, and he won the game.
That was back when I thought I was pretty good.
So you were pretty good in 2000.
Back then, I could have made one run last.
but it's true.
Yeah, it was, you know what, it was a... You know, for us that year, you know, we felt like we were trying to put ourselves on the map as an organization, and we were all trying to become big leaguers at the same time. And it was one of those things where we was trying to get respect from around baseball. And, you know, we felt like we were pretty good. But honestly, looking back on those teams now, I felt like we were a lot better than I thought than we even realized we were. I think our youth was just sometimes our youth got in our way a little bit.
It's kind of like the A's right now. You look at them right now, and they're a team that's kind of playing with house money. That maybe they don't even know how good they are, and they could be contenders for a championship this season.
That's right. So the Giants are banged up. They had a tough year, but the pitching staff, and, Timmy, you comment on it, Travis, you as well. They lost the big guys for a while, but they came out with guys who look like the real deal. Stratton last night looked terrific. Derek Rodriguez, I think, is a pinpoint control guy. Suarez is a tough guy. Holland learned how to pitch, and Bumgarner. I think the pitching in pretty good hands.
Yeah, definitely. I know when we lost Bum right when spring training ended, and then I think Samardzija and Cueto kind of early on. It could have easily been, a tough first half. And we, I was able to kind of follow a little bit, but, you saw they competed. They competed well. They hung in tough. And, I think finally just the injuries caught up a little bit towards the end, and then running a little bit of tough luck here in September. But, yeah, the thing with the Giants, when you've got those core guys that have been through that World Series, they know what they need to do. They've been through all kinds of adversity, and they've been through all kinds of obstacles, and they've always overcome them so well. So I think as long as you've got those guys that just continue to believe, the Hunters, the Busters, the guys that have been there and been through it, Pablo's, I think they'll always have the edge, at least, with whatever they have on the field that day.
Timmy, you were in spring training. You saw some of these guys. You see Rodriguez and Suarez down in Stratton. Remember you talked about Stratton to me.
Yeah, they have some really good arms. I feel like they have stuff that definitely plays up here. I watched Stratton pitch last night on TV, and I think the one thing is that's a difference now with him as opposed to earlier in the year. I just think his confidence has grown so much. I know they were talking about how well he had been throwing the ball as of late. For pitchers, man, a lot of our hurdles are just between our ears. If we can just believe that we're really, really good out there, a lot of times you're going to have success. And I think a lot of times, when things don't quite go your way out there on the mound, you start overthinking a little bit. Next thing you know, it's kind of a snowball on you. Because these hitters nowadays, they're pretty good. You got to feel like you're really good out there to beat them sometimes.
Well, with the shifts and all that stuff, you got to pitch now. And you got to hit. You hit ground balls now, and I'll see you in the minor leagues. Really, yeah. You had a nice career. Goodbye. You got to hit the ball over the shift. Well, thank you so much for coming. Go ahead, Adam.
It was great to have you guys here. A couple of world champions, two great story careers, and one of the biggest moments in history. And you said it, the oldest guy to start a Game 7, and they won the game. I think it's a great honor.
In a good way.
It's a good honor.
A good honor.
Yeah.
Well, great to have you guys here. Thank you so much.
Let's give it up for Travis Ishikawa, Tim Hudson.
All right, more coming up right after this.